The central focus of the Christian faith is the cross. Here, Jesus paid the price for sin, opening the way to eternal life. But not all have that life. In fact, many are trying to reinvent Jesus as a mere man, a teacher who meant well but ended badly. Some say he never went to the cross, but was so loved by God that he was taken directly to heaven. Today, another lie about Jesus is debunked. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. As Easter nears, we're talking with Erwin Lutzer about six lies being foisted on the public about the Son of God. His new book is called Slandering Jesus, and today we'll examine lie number two, that Jesus was not crucified. The conflict between Islam and Christianity is played out in the news and on the internet every day. The clash of cultures is seen in the Middle East war zones, as well as in the relentless atrocities committed against believers in places like Sudan. Islam officially accords Jesus honor as a prophet, but it prohibits according him any form of worship. As Christians, we're celebrating Holy Week, remembering the accounts of Jesus' passion in the garden, his betrayal, his arrest, and his execution by Roman authorities to placate the Jews of his day. And, of course, we'll celebrate his glorious resurrection from the dead. All of these events are denied by Islam. Dr. Erwin Lutzer's new book on slandering Jesus details six lies being told about the Son of God. Today we're going to learn that a vast portion of the human family is being taught lie number two, that Jesus did not die on the cross. Dr. Lutzer, you begin this chapter by saying that no Muslim can pray in the presence of a cross. Why is that?
Well, Dave, I learned that when I was in Hagia Sophia, the Church of Holy Wisdom in Istanbul. I had a Muslim guide, and he told me that no Muslim could pray in the presence of a cross. And if you go to the church, you'll notice that every single cross that was part of the original structure has been chiseled out. And the reason is because the Muslims do not believe that Jesus died on the cross. In fact, he didn't die at all. What they say is that God loved him so much that God took him directly to heaven, and Jesus was not crucified. This is found in the Quran, Surah 4. It says, "They claim we killed the Messiah Jesus." The "they" there refers to the Jews. "They claim we killed the Messiah Jesus, son of Mary, the apostle of God. But they killed him not, nor did they crucify him. They were under the illusion that they had." Well, I could go on continuing to read. There are two different explanations that the Muslims have for the crucifixion. One is to say that somebody who looked like Jesus was crucified. Well, think about that for a moment. The disciples knew Jesus intimately. They'd been with him for 3 years. There was no way that there could have been a substitute who was crucified, and then they would have gotten confused and thought that it was Jesus. The other view is that God raised Jesus up to heaven, and the Jews then substituted someone else and crucified him to avoid a riot among the people. But again, we're confronted with the same issue, namely the fact that the disciples knew Jesus Christ well, and no substitute could have possibly fooled them.
I'm curious, Pastor Lutzer, the Quran and what it just said, that book was written much later than the New Testament documents, wasn't it?
Oh, it really was. When you think of it, Muhammad is living 500 years after the time of the events of the New Testament. Now, let's contrast this for a moment. You look at the New Testament, and you can see that the discussion of Jesus Christ's death is given in such vivid detail. Furthermore, another confirmation that Jesus Christ was crucified is the fact that the disciples found it so difficult to accept the idea that a divine Christ would die. And Jesus himself was in agony. Look at him there in Gethsemane as he wrestles in the presence of his heavenly Father. Now, do you realize that the New Testament would have never included an account that Jesus died? They'd have never included that. It was so humiliating to the disciples and such a difficult experience for Jesus. They included it because they had no other choice. Of course, Jesus Christ was crucified. And this, of course, Dave, raises another question. Where did Muhammad get the idea that Jesus Christ wasn't crucified? Well, there are two possibilities. One is that because Jesus was the Messiah, it is possible to believe that God took him directly to heaven. There's another possibility, too, and that is in the Gnostic Gospels, which we've heard so much about since the Da Vinci Code. In the Gnostic Gospels, there is a reference that says, "He whom you saw on the tree, glad and laughing, this is the living Jesus. But the one in whose hands and feet they drive the nails to his fleshly part is a substitute put to shame." So it's very interesting that the Gnostic Gospels, written 200 or 300 years after the time of Jesus, they have a laughing Jesus. And Jesus is on this tree laughing because the crucifixion is taking place and people are thinking they're crucifying him, but they aren't. It's someone else. Now, that is very interesting because we're going to be discussing the Judas document. As a matter of fact, I think that comes up tomorrow in our broadcast. And there also you have a laughing Jesus based on the Gnostic Gospels. So whatever, we need to be able to say that Muhammad, he accepted many of the rumors and the ideas that were floating around. And that's why the Quran historically has so many difficulties and, if I might say, errors. And certainly, when Muhammad was giving his account of the crucifixion, we can say with deep confidence that he was wrong.
Pastor Lutzer, does Islam honor Christ more than we do by saying that God loved Jesus so much that he would not let him die?
No, Islam does not honor Christ more than we do. Now, I do need to say that Jesus plays a significant role in Islam. As a matter of fact, I think that there are 93 references to Jesus in the Quran. Many of these references have to do with his birth stories and so forth, and many of them parallel ideas in the New Testament, and then there are also ideas that are not found in the New Testament. So the Muslims honor Jesus as a prophet. In fact, they may believe that he is a prophet that is not as great as Muhammad, certainly. But he would maybe be second to Muhammad. I speak to many Muslims here in the city of Chicago, oftentimes because I have a few minutes with them in a cab, if you're taking a cab downtown, and so we have some interesting discussions. Now, in the Quran, Jesus is recorded as having done more miracles than Muhammad. In fact, some of the miracles of the New Testament are referred to there. So there is a great deal of honor that is paid to Jesus among the Muslim believers. The problem is they do not believe in the divinity of Jesus. This is, of course, very unfortunate. In fact, to believe that God became flesh to them is anathema. A strong curse comes to those who believe that. Part of it has to do with a misunderstanding of the phrase that Jesus is the Son of God. But let's just let that pass for a moment. So even though Islam honors Jesus, Islam does not honor Jesus as we do, because we believe he's God. But here's the thing, Dave, and let's not forget this. We believe that instead of the cross being the point at which God was humbled or in some way diminished, that the cross actually represents God's finest moment. It is not true, as the Muslims say, that Jesus was loved so much by God that God took him directly to heaven. It was at the cross that the holiness of God and the love of God, those two attributes, came together, and it is there that they were resolved. Love wanted to redeem, but love could not redeem until justice was satisfied. Justice needed to be satisfied, and once that happened, love could redeem, and God, who is just, can now justify sinners. So I think it is wonderful when we think of the cross as God's kaleidoscope, the attributes of God coming together in resolution and ultimately in great glory, because he is a God of redemption.
Well, Pastor Lutzer, Christians believe that there is an end time coming, and of course, Jesus plays a huge role in that. Is there such a role for Jesus in an Islamic view of the end times?
Yes, there is. They believe that Jesus Christ is coming back to earth. As a matter of fact, Dave, I know that you and I were in Israel many years ago, and you remember sitting on the Garden of Gethsemane area of Jerusalem and looking across the Kidron Valley.
Certainly.
And there we could see the Golden Gate. You remember that?
Oh, yes.
Well, there are many Muslims who believe that Jesus might indeed come through that Golden Gate. There are different views, and that's why a cemetery is there, because there are some who think that if there's a cemetery there, he won't. But the bottom line is this. Yes, Jesus is returning, according to Muslim theology. He is going to abolish all crosses, and then Christians will realize that Jesus Christ was not crucified. And he's going to overcome Antichrist. Sharia law, the law of Islam, is going to be instituted throughout the whole earth. And then Jesus Christ is going to die a natural death and be buried next to Muhammad. So that's what is taught in the Muslim faith regarding the end times and Jesus.
We're talking with Dr. Erwin Lutzer about his Tyndale House book, Slandering Jesus, which details six lies being spread these days by those who want to refashion Jesus into something much less than the divine Jesus that Christians know him to be. Dr. Lutzer, you wrote in your book that, quote, clearly, those who insist that Jesus escaped the crucifixion are mouthing the will and desire of the devil. That's pretty strong stuff.
It is, but just think about this. It is the devil who offered Jesus the kingdoms of this world without going to the cross. You remember when Jesus Christ was tempted there in the desert. And you remember when Peter said, "This shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Remember this, right from the beginning, the devil did not want Jesus to die on the cross. Because it is on the cross that redemption was purchased for those who believe. It was on the cross that Satan was crushed. You remember the imagery of the Old Testament that he would be able to nip the Redeemer's heel, but the Redeemer would crush his head. That happened at the cross. So I conclude today by emphasizing that it is the cross that is the hub of God's purposes. And it is because of the cross that we can be redeemed, and we should all be grateful that Jesus was crucified as a holy sacrifice.
On tomorrow's Running to Win, we're going to examine lie number three, a lie coming from the Gnostic Gospels, that Judas, in fact, did Jesus a favor. Don't miss tomorrow's program. And thank you, Dr. Lutzer, for today's program.
Thanks, Dave.
The lies being told about Jesus need to be answered, and they have been, in Dr. Lutzer's book, Slandering Jesus. This Tyndale House book is must-reading for Christians who want to be able to give answers to those whose opinion of Jesus is being formed from the lies told in our culture. There's a copy of Slandering Jesus waiting for you. For your gift of any amount to Running to Win, you'll receive your personal copy of this crucial case for the real Jesus. Simply call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Or you can write to Running to Win, 1609 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Enclose a gift of any amount and tell us you'd like to receive Slandering Jesus. Online, go to runningtowin.org for full information on this book offer and on the many ministries of Moody Church. Don't forget, Running to Win is supported by listeners like you. For a great adventure, you can join Dr. Lutzer in the steps of Luther and the Reformers this June in Europe. For information, go to our website at runningtowin.org. This is Dave McAllister. Did Judas do Jesus a favor? Don't miss Tuesday's edition of Running to Win.